Welcome to the Chic Perspective Show. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, the Chic Entrepreneur. Thanks so much for tuning in, where we are talking about women entrepreneurs that have succeeded with style, their own personal style. And today, we are shining the chic spotlight on women in the automotive industry, which I love taking a look from a female perspective on some of the more male-dominated industries out there. So very excited to introduce you to my first guest, who is Gail Dunn, the president of Women's Automotive Connection. Gail is an expert in the automotive field and the collision industry. She is a iCar Platinum certified and ASI trained and has a reputation in the industry for her scrupulous honesty and grim determination. And I've had such a pleasurable time just chatting with you before we went on the air today. Gail, welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Elizabeth, thanks so much for having me, and I appreciate that.
So tell me how you first got started in the industry and in the business.
Well, to make a long story short, I was a collision center manager at a major dealership for 15 years and was deciding to retire based on where the industry was going and was looking for another opportunity. And what I realized was the one thing I enjoyed about my job was helping my customers. And as the wheels began to turn, it kind of developed into what I do now, which is try to help people save money, find a good place to get a car fixed, do something that is good for them instead of what most women feel is being taken advantage of.
Well, a lot of women are intimidated by the car buying process or just cars in general. You know, sometimes you flip open the hood on something and you don't know exactly how it all works, and it can be a little intimidating. So tell me why you decided to focus specifically on women.
Well, it's odd because half my clients are men, but the women, someone just didn't teach them. And what happens is that when you go into a shop to have a car repaired or go in to purchase a car, it's assumed that you don't know anything, which is not the facts. And one of the things we do is put on an automotive boot camp to give you kind of an automotive 101 and ways to keep you from being vulnerable, as I say, and ways to keep you from being ripped off. Because if you learn and get empowered to ask the right questions, and learn when to say no, and learn when to question what they're doing, then it really can put you in a better position dealing with men and cars.
Absolutely. The knowledge really gives you the power in that situation. And some people just don't know where to start. So if someone's a real beginner in terms of car knowledge, what are some of the things you'd recommend they start off with learning about?
Well, there are two or three things, but one of the things that I have learned and watched women in the past couple of years do since I've been in business is understand that the lifeblood of your car is the oil, and you need to change it every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, depending upon what kind of oil you use. And there are people whose cars are sitting at places right now with burned engines who just said, I didn't know that. And so to me, it's educating about that. You know, make sure if you do nothing else that you change the oil regularly in the car. And the second one I think is so important is safety. The only thing between you and the road are your tires and brakes. So if you don't understand how the wear is on your tire or whether your brakes are in good shape or not, it doesn't matter how well your car runs or how good it looks. If it won't stop, your problems are bigger.
Okay, very good. Very practical tips there. The oil and the tire and the brakes. Now, a lot of people have been talking recently about buying cars. You know, there's a lot of deals out there. Some people aren't sure whether or not they're in a position to negotiate on purchasing a new car. Talk a little bit about the purchasing a car process and how you help your customers kind of navigate what is out there. How do they pick the right car? Where do they go to buy?
Well, picking the right car obviously is the first key to it, but it's based on, you know, what you want and what you're looking for. And once you can hone in on that, the process gets to be pretty simple. There are at least 5 to 6 dealers on any vehicle in the line in Atlanta or anywhere else. And what I do is I go online and I get them bidding, and we start a bidding war. And the guy who comes in with the lowest bid sells a car. And most of the guys who know me and deal with me in this process understand that if the guy across the street comes in lower than you do, you're going to lose. So most of them are really, when you're doing it and you do this process and they understand it, they're motivated to give you a better price because they want that sale. If it's the end of the month, especially, they need that sale. And if they right. know you can go across the street and buy the same car and you've got a very, very similar price. So you've got to motivate them instead of them motivating you.
So you really kind of turn the tables because a lot of people feel like they walk into the dealership and they're in, you know, kind of the lower down position and the dealer is in the power position. But by doing this kind of a strategic approach and realizing, like we were saying before the show, that unlike buying a house, there are going to be multiple cars that may be able to suit your needs because it's not set in one location. And if you live in a city where there's a lot of different options, you do have a lot more choice. So I love that, putting the woman more in the power position.
And really, when we do it, and I've done it for clients over time, is what we're actually doing is asking the dealership that we're buying the vehicle from for an out-the-door price. We're not going to walk in and add plus, plus, plus. We know exactly what we're paying when we walk in the door.
That really makes it a very different conversation than some that I've witnessed at a dealership. How do you think the internet has changed the car buying market?
Their pricing is a little stronger. Most dealers who are really working the internet are going to give you a better price than you're going to get as a walk-in. And if you get that done before you go, then you've got an idea of what the price is and the thing that it's helping you with. If you're looking for a 2011 Toyota Camry and you query someone on the internet, a dealership, and you get a price, that's leverage for you. You can take that somewhere else. You can take it online. You can take it on the phone. You can take it in person. But once you have a price, then you can start negotiating down.
Okay, so doing some research up front and getting an initial quote from one person, take that as a starting point.
Well, the starting point for me is the markup on cars is 19%. Knock 19% off the MSRP and work down from there. But once you've got a bid from a dealer, then that's another starting point. If it's the one you have, then go to the other dealer across town who sells the same car and say, listen, Joe Blow is going to sell me this for this amount of money. What do you sell it to me for? Instead of them telling you what they're going to give you, make them give you a better price.
So how long does this process take?
It takes 3 or 4 days.
That's pretty fast.
Well, it really is. And the nice part of it is easy. It's pretty much either online or on the phone. So you don't have to go in. You don't have to go in and sit for hours and hours and
that's
hours.
That's big because time is money, as we know here on the Chic Perspective Show. Now, buying a car is only one part of the total cost. There's also the idea of what's the cost of actually owning this car over the lifetime of the car. A lot of people don't think of it that way, and that's why I really like your approach. So talk a little bit about how people need to realize that the true cost is the cost of owning the car.
Well, most people understand, Elizabeth, that when they take a car home, big depreciation drop immediately from driveway to driveway. But if you start taking a look, and the internet is an awesome opportunity for you because between Kelley Blue Book, NADA, Auto Trader, you can get a value for vehicles. If you own a 2007 Dodge Caliber, and you want to know what it's worth, you can go online and find out. And so then you know from what you paid for it what the drop has been. So you can kind of track the value of cars
over time
without having to put in a lot of effort. And if you're losing $5,000 to $6,000, you know, a year, then you're losing a lot of money. I drive a 2006 Mini Cooper. You know, my car has probably lost maybe in 4 years, maybe $1,500 in value.
That's it.
So, you know, what you're looking at is what are they selling? What is that 2006 Mini Cooper S convertible selling for today
now
versus what I paid for it? So do that comparison, and then you can understand how much you're losing on cars. And you can also do the same thing by looking at what the resale value is on other cars of the same year and how much they've lost.
Okay. Now, what would be a good target figure as terms of, you know, value, because we know it's going to be a depreciating asset, but what, how could you maximize that value over time? What are we shooting for?
I would say $1,000 a year. I can probably, you know, I feel kind of proud that I try to minimize mine and do it to about $500 a year. But $1,000 a year isn't unexpected, you know, and you're doing the constant maintenance on it. You're going to lose that money. But then you have to understand, as Lee and I were talking earlier about the theory of diminishing return, there comes a point at which your car is no longer worth what it would take to maintain it. So you have to get out before you lose your shirt.
True. Right. It gets to that point where it becomes a real hard, easy decision to make once the numbers start to really stack up like that in terms of repairs and maintenance.
And that's why I say when you can track the value of your vehicle, then you can kind of see almost the horizon of where the end is.
Now, when you put all of this, you know, looking at the numbers and analysis and research into the equation, it's easier to make logical decisions. However, we all know that a lot of times when it comes to buying a car or buying anything, people get emotionally attached and start to make decisions more from emotion than to logic. How can they stay kind of detached, or what's your advice on, you know, are you allowed to fall in love with a car?
Well, you certainly are, and I think most of us do. I mean, I absolutely love my car. But in the buying process, you don't need to be. You have to understand one true fact is that that is not the only car just like that in this country or in this town or in this block of on the city. I mean, everybody sells those cars. And you, if you find, let's put mine out there, for example, because I wanted a pepper white Mini Cooper S convertible with a blue top, blue interior, this kind of chrome trim, heated seats. I had a very specific
criteria.
And I said, this is what I want. The dealership did not have it. I said, find it or build it, because it's there. Someone has it. They found it. They found it in Charlotte, North Carolina, and brought it to Atlanta. But my point is that instead of getting sucked into what they wanted to sell me,
right,
I stuck to my guns and said, this is what I want to buy, and this is what I'm going to pay for it. So a lot of people I know at different dealerships, a lady came in one time looking for a four-wheel drive red Jeep Wrangler, went home with a two-wheel drive blue one. I mean, to me, that's where they've pulled you in. So
right,
being, you know, sticking to your guns and empowering yourself by saying, I want what I want.
Now, they do have some great tactics for kind of getting you, you know, what do I need to do to put you in this car today kind of thing, where you feel like, I can't even walk away. What can people do when they're sitting at that negotiating table to keep themselves from, you know, getting sucked in?
Literally get up and walk out the door, because most of the time, and I have seen this happen on too many occasions, and I've done it as well, when they get to a point that you're not comfortable and you pick up your papers and start to walk out the door, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it to the door. They are going to make the deal. You are going to get what you want. But you have to be strong enough to literally get up out of that chair and walk to the door.
Well, that's probably why it really helps to have an advocate there with you, kind of coaching you along in this process. Tell me a little bit more about how you work with clients.
Well, generally, the one thing that I find is the most difficult is getting a client to understand what it is they want to buy.
Okay.
Because most people are all over the map. And so then it's a process of honestly trying to be very good in understanding what their needs are. I had a client recently, and her driving need were how the seats felt. That, I mean, everybody has something, and I don't discount any of it. It's very important to her.
Sure, where the cup holders are.
And so finding out what they need, and in her particular case, it was taking her, which normally I don't have to do, but in that case I did, somewhere to look at cars and sit in the seat.
Okay.
And we started out with one and ended up with another. But we ended up where she needed to be, but you almost have to take them to it.
Terrific. Now, have you noticed any difference between how women approach the car buying experience versus men?
Yeah, most men go in and they feel that, you know, they're in control, and women don't. I mean, that's just plain and simple how it is. And I don't think that women should feel that way, because you can find the same control. Men get taken just like women do.
Right.
Trust me.
So there, that's not a gender specific.
No, it isn't. They just don't admit it.
All right. Our next guest is on the line, and I'm going to bring her into the conversation now, too. We've got Anne Fleming, who is a car buying advocate and the president of WomenDrivers.com. Anne, welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Elizabeth, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we've been having a great time here with Gail Dunn, and I know you guys kind of know each other, so I'm excited to have both of you here in the conversation. Tell me, Anne, how you got started in your business.
Well, the way I got started, I've been listening to Gail, and I know Gail, so Gail, if you're on the line, it's a pleasure to be with you on this program.
Thanks, Anne.
A couple of years ago, I bought a car, and I went into the office the following morning to tell my boss about this great new BMW that I bought, and he is a car aficionado, so I knew he'd be thrilled to hear about this new car. And after I told him about the car, his very first question, Elizabeth, was, did you get a good deal?
Of course.
And I said, Matt, I got a great deal. I hired a negotiator. I sat there for 10 minutes, not a word came out of my mouth, and when the number came up that I was interested in, I said, okay, we're done, let's go get the car. And Matt, who's listening to me tell this story, he leans back in his chair, folds his arms, and quietly just looks at me. And I was getting a little nervous, and I said, Matt, what's going on? He said, Anne, you manage a $30 million business. I was in the home decorative lighting industry. He said, you manage a $30 million business. You travel the world by yourself. Why, when you went to buy a car, why did you give your power away?
Wow.
And it was like a wow. You kind of put me on my heels. And I said something like, oh, Matt, my time is my money, and my money's my time. And he said, you know, to the extent of BS. So just real quickly, so I had a life coach, and I still do, mm-hmm. and I shared the exact same story with Barbara, who introduced me to a woman at Carnegie Mellon by the name of Linda Babcock, who in 2007 wrote a book called Women Don't Ask. And it's a quantitative and qualitative book about how women don't necessarily ask for things, especially in the realm of negotiating, compared to our male counterparts. And in this book, Elizabeth, I found that her research showed that when women don't negotiate at the car dealership, women pay $1,353 more for a car than he does. And I started to think about it, and I'm like, $1,350 over the life of, let's say, a 5 or 6 year loan, depending upon one's interest rate, that's like $3,000. And with $3,000, you know, that's a dream vacation. That's, you know, I don't know, handbags or shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and you're going through that cycle how many times over your lifetime as a driver? And that really starts to add up.
It really does. So I've been in marketing and research my professional career 20 plus years. And the more I started to look at this phenomenon of how much more women pay at the dealership, I started to craft a marketing proposal or a marketing brief, and basically came up with Women Drivers. And what we're all about is we're a website, you know, all things auto for women. But our key point of differentiation is that we have a review. Women can review. She can rate her dealership experience at dealerships coast to coast. And she can rate her experience in three different categories: browsing, she went in, maybe she intended to buy, but she didn't buy. Browsing is one, purchasing is another, and service is the third category. And dealerships that have the highest scores within a certain geographical region are the ones that come up first in our search engine. They're the ones that get designated or recognized as being certified women-friendly. So, all that being said, Elizabeth, you know, simply put, we are about connecting, you know, this powerful group of buyers. I call us the CPO. We're the chief purchasing officer of the household. And, you know, cars certainly fall under that domain. And it's really about putting, you know, the CPO and women in touch with a powerful group of buyers. But the great thing about our reviews is she can choose to do business. Gail was talking about this earlier. Like, women can, 6 out of 10 women buy a car at the dealership that's closest to their home. And at Women Drivers, we say, don't do that. When you're buying a $15,000 or maybe a $35,000 car, it's not like going to Target or to Kohl's.
Right.
You may actually, to get better service or to be treated, you know, better, it may very well be worth your while to drive an additional 7 or 15 miles. And again, the dealerships are being recognized as women-friendly by women themselves who've actually shopped or been to that dealership.
Well, I love that you're really empowering women to kind of take charge of the whole automotive experience and learn how to ask, right? Because the statistics show the purchasing power of the purse, if you will, is huge. We are making the majority of these buying decisions and should be served with the information and the kind of customer service that we really want and deserve in this experience. So one of the things I heard you say is about the location. What are some of the other things that women can do to really put themselves more in the driver's seat, if you will, if you'll pardon the pun, in the whole buying experience?
I try to keep it really simple. You know, we've got lots of information and lots of research that we provide, you know, to women free of charge to come to the site and garner and really get. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to this, Elizabeth. Do your research. You know, do your research. If you have 10 cars in mind, you know, funnel that down to 2 or 3, because 10 cars is not, that's too many. So do your research. Really find out what are the features, the amenities, what are the upgrades that you're interested in, and then you can go and begin to get a better understanding of the price. And the second thing is really use your intuition. You know, we're women. You know, we have this
right.
thing called, you know, thin slicing. We have intuition. It's really there to serve us. So when you're at a car dealership and, you know, the conversation and the dialogue and the transaction going back and forth is working, great. Keep it going. If it's not working, speak up. You know, get up. Leave. Ask, you know, go to the general manager. Just say, you know, the conversation that I'm having with, you know, the salesperson here is not working for me. They're not listening to me. Can I please be assigned another salesperson? If that's granted, terrific. If it's not granted, just you can leave. There's another, Acura dealership or another Chevrolet dealership within miles of you. So,
right.
you know, if it's not working for you, use your intuition, speak up, and get up.
It's worth the drive to find somebody that's really going to give you the kind of service that you like. Now, one of the reports that I was reading, and you do produce a number of great reports and information for women on the site, is about the difference between the over 40 and the under 40 female purchase experience. I was really, I thought this was very intriguing because I think it does come down to confidence, sort of what you're both saying, confidence in that purchase experience. And as I've talked to many business experts over the course of the show, when we talk about running a business, a lot of that comes down to confidence and how confident are you. And I think 40 sometimes marks a big confident, milestone for a lot of women. Talk a little bit, Anne, about this report and some of the findings on the over 40 versus under 40 purchase.
Yeah, absolutely, Elizabeth. On a macro level, women over 40 tend to have they're more satisfied with their experience at the car dealership. And a couple things. I mean, when I was 25 or 28, I certainly didn't have life experiences that I have at 40 plus. So, like you said, you know, age 40 is kind of like a milestone. I think intuitively or just inherently, we gain more confidence in life, you know, as we go through life. The other thing is that women over 40 are more brand loyal. They're more brand loyal than their younger counterparts, and that makes sense. We have purchased many more cars. We've gone through some cars or some brands that we're like, I'm never going to buy that brand again. Or, you know, we've been able to upgrade over the years because we're making more money, we're saving more money, and we're like, wow, I had a really great experience, not only at that dealership, but with this brand, and I'm absolutely going to buy it again. So those are just a couple things real quickly.
So that's important for the dealership and just the industry to note, is that that happens over the course of the lifetime, and you have to impact, you know, what takes place before 40 is going to have a substantial impact to the plus 40 market, who's going to have more purchasing power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the women over 40 are getting divorced more. So now she's on her own. And she's like, you know what? I never did like that blankety-blank car that my husband had me driving. Now I'm going to go out and get the car that I really want. So, yes, paying attention to both groups is very important. You know, we get blogs every day from, you know, reviews from women, you know, all over the United States. And, you know, most dealerships, Gail's in them every day, most dealerships are, you know, committed to excellent and superior customer service and customer satisfaction. Sometimes that just doesn't resonate to the sales floor, or maybe sometimes, you know, a salesperson might had, you know, they just might have a bad day, or maybe sometimes the woman coming in as a customer, she may be almost defensive coming in. That's why she needs people like Gail or resources like, you know, women drivers who can really, you know, assist her.
Right, and the other thing that you really recommend is to contribute to, you know, the body of knowledge out there by writing a review. So talk a little bit more about how people can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the site is all about women sharing their experience. It's anonymous. You know, all of her information is anonymous. But her score is not. The score assigned to a dealership is not. So it's really, you know, women being contributing to other future women car buyers of her city, number one. Number two, you know, women are really great information sharers. And so, you know, there might be a point in time in a year or two when she's going to, she may have written a review this week or next week, and in a couple of years she might be getting ready to buy a car, and then she can use the site for, you know, to read a review to find out, hey, I'm looking for a Ford. Which dealership in a 50-mile radius is considered the most women-friendly based upon reviews from other women? So the way that women would go to women-drivers.com, and she registers to the site, and she can write a dealer review. All of this, again, is anonymous. It's free, and it takes probably about 3.5-4 minutes. And it's a way for women to, you know, support other women in her city. The fun thing, and we've all been at, you know, soirees or, you know, dinner parties or whatever, and it really doesn't matter if it was 10 months ago or 10 years ago, Elizabeth. Every woman remembers almost verbatim her last, you know, her last dealership experience.
Yes.
You know, so it's
very
really
true.
A way to quantify that, put that down in writing. Again, it's anonymous. But it's a way to support other women in, you know, Atlanta or in Pittsburgh or in Palo Alto.
Absolutely. And that's what we're all about here on the Chic Perspective Show, bringing women together to empower each other. So, Anne, what have you found is kind of some of the differences? I know I have some ideas in terms of women just tuning into a lot more of the fine-tune aspects of the overall experience, you know, noticing things that men might not notice. What do you think are some of the differences in how a woman approaches the car buying experience versus a man?
Well, that's great. I was listening to, you know, you kind of asked the question a little bit differently to Gail. And again, this is kind of at a macro level.
Right, of course.
Men are a little bit more pragmatic about their approach, Elizabeth. They actually, to a degree, again, this is not all men, this is just kind of a macro overview, but a lot of men enjoy the dance of negotiating.
They like that part.
Like their gamesmanship gets to be, you know, riled up, you know. It's like, okay, let's go to the car dealership, you know. And men also are not afraid to speak up. You know, they do it quite well, and we love them for that. But, you know, women, we're a little bit, quote-unquote, nicer. So if we may tend to stay at the dealership, even though we may have no intention to buy from this individual, we may stay at the dealership just a little bit longer because we want to appear nice and we don't want to be rude.
Right. Especially in women, the South, we're really big on, you know, being polite.
We are so polite, aren't we? And, you know, it's really great to just, you know, all gender aside, it's really just great to recognize that, you know, the dealerships, they are in a for-profit business. They have every right to make money. I mean, that's what they're in business for.
And they're using every strategy available to them to do so.
Well, you know, and here's something I think the dealerships can take on. I'm a big proponent of this. I'm in Detroit a lot. I speak to many of the manufacturers on the West Coast and in California. And the most interesting phenomenon that to me that exists is at retail. You know, when we go to Target or Nordstrom's, you know, 70% of the retail people are women. You know, so we're very comfortable. We're very comfortable going shopping, you know, because not only are we walking into stores where there's other women waiting on us, number one, but number two, we pay the ticket price. And so dealerships still retain over 90% of their employees are men. And there's just no reason why more and more women can't be in this automotive playing field. It would really make a difference for women, I think, to be able to approach a woman at a car dealership. So that's just one thing that I think, you know, it may be in the next 10 years, I'm not really sure, but hopefully, you know, I do trust that in the next decade we will see a lot more women salespeople or service individuals actually at the dealership, and I think that will help women with some of their hesitation in going to the dealership. They'll feel intuitively easier about going to the dealership.
Right, more comfortable in that environment. That's very interesting, and I as well hope to see that too. Well, ladies, we are almost out of time. It's been such a pleasure learning all about what you both are doing and what you're doing to empower women in the automotive industry, both at the consumer level as well as inside the industry. So I want to now go to our chic tip segment of the program. I like to ask all of my experts and women entrepreneurs on the show to share one chic tip that's really been influential in their ability to build a successful business, and you've both surely done that. So, Gail, I'm going to start with you here in the studio. And once again, I wanted to make sure we gave out your website as well. It's womensautomotiveconnection.com. Gail Dunn, what's your chic tip?
Well, I think, Elizabeth, the thing that women have to understand is there isn't any playing field, any business, any industry that they can't conquer. And I think for me, having been inside for a long time, they being the males in the industry, would have told you that you can't succeed in this business. And I did when I was in the business, I think, very well. And I think having started my own business as a challenge to them, I've done the same. So I think a lot of what Anne is saying is true. More women need to get into it. But the men are stuck in the 50s, and they're not letting them in. So I think we need to not be afraid to challenge them on their own playing field.
Awesome. I like the sound of that. And Anne Fleming of women-drivers.com, what's your chic tip for us today, Anne?
Well, you know, the one thing, again, as it relates to automobiles and buying cars, that, you know, a place of empowerment is actually for women to know what kind of a negotiator they are. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses as a negotiator? And I like to direct women to the homepage on Women Drivers to actually find out. We've got a very cool interactive negotiating test, and that it's just 10 simple questions, but it allows women to, it's based on the DISC personality quadrant, and it allows women to find out, are they a driven diva, a brazen babe, a cozy chick, a virtual vixen? It really tells them what kind of a negotiator that they are, and then provides women some extra tools in her toolbox about how she can approach the next dealership experience. So for, you know, for women just to be open and to just research and find out, you know, not only about the car, but also find out about themselves and their own approach to going to the dealership.
Fantastic. Well, ladies, it has been a pleasure, and thank you so much to our listeners for joining us today. I hope you've learned a lot and feel more empowered on how you're dealing with your car buying experience. Definitely check out the resources that our guests have mentioned. And if you'd like to listen to past episodes of the Chic Perspective Show, you can go to Business Radio X. If you'd like to find out more about the Chic Entrepreneur, visit chicentrepreneur.com and tune in next week for more Chic Perspectives. Until then, wishing you all chic success.